New England Patriots plus A.J. Brown equals?
Look, I think they get back to the AFC title game. I really do, because I think A.J. Brown's going to have the best season of his career. I think he'll be a 1,500-yard receiver this year.
Hell yeah, Lewis Riddick.
There we go.
1,500 yards?
Not everybody hates the Pats.
They hate us because our anus. It is Rich, Ted, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
It is amazing to the opinions vary on how the Patriots will do. Some think they'll be in the middle of the AFC. Some think they're the best team in the AFC. So it's a wide range of thoughts on what the Patriots are this year.
It is fair to say the AFC is wide open, right? That would be an accurate statement?
Absolutely.
AFC, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
I mean, see one of five or six teams winning it.
I mean, you have to think Buffalo has to be up there. You have to think Kansas City's got to be up there, right? Just right. Boom, boom.
Bengals.
Bengals. I would say the Chargers, even Bengals. Though I don't believe in them. Broncos.
Broncos. And yeah. You even throw in the Ravens. I don't believe in the Ravens, but there's a lot of people putting the Ravens up there.
They're like a favorite. Favorites.
He's bought in. I mean, you got Lamar Jackson, who's never been more excited to play football than he is this year. So
you'd probably even throw the Steelers in on a small
percentage. No! Aaron Rodgers is going to
based
stink.
On their defense. And
I mean,
no.
The Texans, look, you know, that quarterback is better than what he played in.
Oh, yeah, Texans.
Yeah, Texans. Yeah. The Chargers are going to be good again this year. I like
it's half the AFC at least.
They got Mike McDaniels as their offensive coordinator. I think that's going to be a huge, huge feather in the cap for their quarterback. So I think the AFC is going to be it is wide open, but it's going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy conference.
I agree.
Like it was last year.
Yeah, it could go anywhere. It is weird though. This whole AJ Brown situation. You know, when he first got signed, you know, it was essentially. I don't want to say universal, but it was definitely leaning towards most people were like, this is the great thing for the Patriots. Fantastic. Love it. As a matter of fact, you know, it was one of those deals where if you were to poo-poo it, you kind of sounded ridiculous. It's weird, man, because now things are starting to turn. I don't know if it's just because, you know, people are starting to feel that they have to have a hot take because it sounds like everybody else. And
it's a little bit of that.
You're right. I think that there's a definite, it's almost like, you know, when one person gets left off a ballot for, you know, the Hall of Fame and they want to be the person who gets asked about, oh, why did you not bring this person? Why did you not put this person on the ballot? You want to be the one guy who gets attention. To me, it just seems like we're kind of leaning towards the day after, you know, almost like a fake buyer's remorse. Because I've seen more articles today about, you know what, they did overpay. I mean, they were the only people in on
it. Yeah.
And it's true, they were the only people in, but that's a decent price for a very good player. To me, that's about what you should have paid for him.
There's not – you can't use the word fleeced. They didn't get – did they overpay? Yeah, they did. And you know what? I don't care because they never overpay. They always underpay. And you get frustrating talking about these types of deals because they never come to fruition. Now, hell, now with Vrabes there, there's a new sheriff in town, so they might be doing business a little bit differently. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Anybody who's complaining – would they have wanted the first round pick in 2028 back for this season? Like, examine your life. What are you saying? You'd rather be, yeah, we got a first round pick in 2028. It's screw AJ Brown.
Ken, it's insincerity. You know what it is? It's sports talk radio. It's hot take television. And those are the same people that if this would have fallen through, and on June 1st. You wouldn't have had A.J. Brown as a member of the Patriots.
Right.
They would have been ripping the team for not doing
it. You
didn't
do it.
Yeah, right. You didn't do everything you could do. It's just, this is not even a – it's going to be in the 20s anyway. Why didn't you go for it?
Do you know why the Patriots could not, bring in a bad deal or overreach? Because they had Tom Brady at his peak when he was, you know, better than anybody on the planet at throwing football. So you didn't need to make deals like this.
Yeah, you're
because
right.
Because you had – and Drake May – I think he's going to be a hell of a quarterback, but he's still young. He's still got a lot. So you need to surround him with better weapons. So it's not to compare this deal to deals in the past. I think is honestly, it's kind of stupid because it's apples and oranges to where the quarterback you have versus the quarterback you used to have. You could, wait for the best deal. Because you had Tom Brady as your quarterback.
By the way, Ian Rappaport kind of gave us a little bit more of an idea of what this compromise was between the Patriots and Eagles. And he did say it was a compromise. Let's see what Rappaport had to say.
And everyone assumed that, okay, well, A.J. Brown is getting traded to the Patriots no matter what. Except there was a compensation issue. Notably that the Philadelphia Eagles wanted a one for A.J. Brown and the Patriots did not believe that was worth. That was his worth. They believed he was worth a 2027 second round pick. So the way that the two teams compromised was this. Instead of a 2027 first rounder, it was a 2028 first rounder. And most teams believe the value of a first rounder, not this year, but the following year, loses around. In other words, a two this year is the same as a one next year.
Do you believe that?
You know,
I you know what? It's weird. I'll be honest with the new NIL stuff. I never would ever say that before. But it's hard for me to think, man, that's a big difference. You know, a one whole round of less value. But maybe with the NIL, guys are staying in at longer than they ever did before. There was more you could kind of predict who was coming out before NIL. When they were going to come out, you could predict. And so you could kind of anticipate what each draft class was going to look like. Now, it's hard to figure that out. So I think there might be some truth. I would almost say it's probably a half a round weaker. To say it's a whole round weaker is a little bit, to me, is a stretch. But look, there was just the fact that you felt like you had this deal done and negotiated. There's a price to pay for that, knowing that you had him. So it affected how you drafted and how you did free agency. But also the fact that you could get him in here right now,
yeah,
as opposed to, yeah, you could drag it out for another month or two, but then you lose the benefit of having him in here working with Drake May, and there's value in that. So
he's here for minicamp next week, which is interesting they moved that up. I'm not sure if it was like World Cup related or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's why, yeah.
Okay.
But still, they're hitting the ground hot. Like, he's staying in town, and here we go next
week. If it's an overpay, it's not by much. And for the other reasons I just mentioned, it's worth it to overpay a little bit for reasons I just said.
And the Elliott Wolf interview, I don't know Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports, but she's the only one to talk to Elliott Wolf. She got an exclusive, and he did acknowledge the only one risky part of this deal, Rich, is the knee, which we talked about that. And Elliott Wolf said, quote, "It's a factor, but we examined him. He's got a knee that has some wear and tear that we were aware of. Our training staff and medical staff signed off on it."
Mm-hmm.
So that is the legitimate only risky part of this, but you know, you're going to have that with pretty much any guy you pick up.
And I'd be curious if there's new techniques, there's new things they can do, operations, ways to kind of manage a knee that are way more advanced now than when I played, and even when, 5 years ago. So, the knee, dude, he's still producing at a high level with a bad knee.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what Wolf says. He goes on to say he's incredibly powerful. That's the first thing that stands out. He can get open one-on-one and versus zone. He's got a great feel, great hands. He's able to adjust. He's super strong. Probably not quite as fast as he once was, but he can still run.
And you know what, too? I said this yesterday regarding the first, the first rounder that they gave up. I said, right now, the Patriots need a feel-good story. They need people talking about them, something other than the Diana Rossini story. Something that will distract you from what has been going on over the last 3 months, because we all agree, that's been the biggest story of the offseason in the NFL.
But
correct?
Do we all agree that that's not a reason why you make a trade like this?
Well,
it's a side benefit.
It's a side benefit. But I also believe that that's why they probably didn't hesitate. There wasn't any kind of negotiations at the end. If they felt that, they were the last people, they're the only people that were bidding on it, there wasn't this whole, trying to rinky-dink them and go, you know what, maybe we'll do a second rounder instead. I think that they had this agreement and they weren't going to mess around because they knew they wanted a positive story out here immediately.
But you don't think this represents any kind of indication to how much power Mike has? I mean, Belichick won the Super Bowl in 2001 and he had immense power right away.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a flex. This is a Mike Vrabel guy. He's basically...
It's a good point. I mean,
although Elliott Wolf says in this thing, he's been calling about A.J. Brown since 2024.
If that's true, which
is probably not true, but maybe...
If that's true, then I take back what I just said.
No, but I think it's obviously a Vrabel pickup, right? I mean, they had such a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, A.J. Brown is a Pats fan, so I guess maybe he would have wanted to come here no matter who the coach was.
What is this everyone saying that A.J. Brown was using AI... Like when it was announced here, like he was holding up a jersey that wasn't real.
I think those jerseys of him and the 12 jersey as a little boy are not real on his Instagram page.
And does it look obvious? Because I saw a bunch of people going, "Oh, that guy's lying. He's a liar. You guys signed a liar."
I looked at it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of talk about him being a problem. He's a diva. He had issues with this team. And this was on a team that was very successful with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that doesn't bother me because – I don't think he's going to have the same problems with this coach, this coordinator, in this this quarterback.
Dude, you literally are speaking my language. I said the same thing. I'm like, Mike Vrabel is not Nick Sirianni. Guy. Right. Mike, you said it. You said he is a alpha's alpha, Mike Vrabel. And if you have a player come in here who thinks they're going to be able to use these passive-aggressive tweets and things that they put out there about their other players, you can do that under Nick Sirianni because he does not seem like the kind of guy that will rule with an iron fist. Whereas Mike Vrabel, doesn't it seem like a completely different dynamic?
It's apples and oranges. To suggest that he's going to be the same guy in here that he was in Philly, then you're not looking at it close enough.
But also, isn't the quarterback relationship more important? Like, I feel like he got traded because he and Jalen Hurts came to some disagreement in their personal lives or whatever. More so than Sirianni, A.J. Brown and Hurts didn't get along. So he and Drake have to get along. I don't worry about Vrabel and A.J. Brown.
I don't see there being any problem with Drake and him. I don't. No. This is the best quarterback he's ever played with.
But does he have
controversy.
Those are fighting words.
Are you going to get the entire city of Philadelphia on your back like Ken did?
Let me ask you.
Come at me, Philly.
Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill or Jalen Hurts ever been runner-up for MVP?
Hurts actually might have been
really?
One of those regular seasons. I have to go back and check.
Who's won a Super Bowl and who was embarrassed in the big game, Dad, Teddy J?
That's the big one.
Drake's going into his third year. When did Jalen Hurts win it? Was how many years?
3 years ago.
I know. How long had he been in the league before he won it?
That's the fourth year, maybe?
I'm going to pull up his stats. So
all I know is he also had the greatest team of all time around him. Like the talent he had around him was ridiculous.
Oh, it was his fourth year.
Fourth year.
It was his fourth year. Drake's going into his third year. So, yeah, Drake hasn't won it, but, you know, he also got there, too. And it was mostly because of him.
All I know, Teddy J, is that there are some very angry people from Philadelphia. Apparently, one of our clips from the show went viral of Ken, who obviously just has a hot take flamethrower everywhere
he
goes.
Every day he comes in.
Everybody second guesses me, even on the show. Brad Froh a minute ago, scoffs. Next week he'll be praising me.
You know what? You know? It's true. He's actually, you're kind of right on that, Ken. Right with this, a lot of this stuff.
Well, let's get what he had to say and what pissed off Philadelphia so much. We will play that right after this.